I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is North South.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami for the North and South Show. We got two very different locations. Somehow I'm in Southern California. And Dylan, where the hell are you? I can't come down and meet with you, of course. We have big high-powered meetings and Dylan decides to ship out. Where are you right now, Dylan?
Yeah, I fled to Japan. it's snowing where I am in Japan, and which is not great because I now have come down with something. So, but I'll be moving on from here to Korea in a couple of days.
Let's explain it.
The Dodgers are opening their season with a two-game series in Seoul next week against the San Diego Padres. So they'll be there for about a week, you know, before those two games. They have a couple of exhibition games. It's kind of a, I think the Dodgers, obviously, when they kind of signed Ohtani, were kind of hoping, you know, they would help them, you know, he would help them increase their global footprint. And this is kind of step one of that.
This was planned before they signed Ohtani and Yamamoto. Okay. I know it's early. You're in Japan, not Korea, but I'm sure, you know, huge Japanese interest. Do you feel like the Dodgers have become Japan and Korea, or that Asian sort of feel? Is there a real sense that the Dodgers mean something to these countries?
Yeah, you know, I think, I've been picking up the sports page here, right? They have kind of all sports newspapers here, and Ohtani's on the cover every single day. Mm-hmm. The latest one was that, Yu Darvish is going to be the opening day starter for the San Diego Padres. So it's going to be the first time Darvish and Ohtani face each other, right? So that was kind of the big news here. I think, for sure, you know, again, Ohtani has just kind of turned into one of these – athletes that, again, I think really, you know, represents just kind of how this country views itself, right? All the country's virtues, this guy kind of represents. So for sure, there's interest there. I've gone to some games here in the, you know, over the last like a handful of days now, and you can see too, just that the focus of the players here, going to the major leagues, you could see there's a greater kind of, I think the path is more clear now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think before, whereas, you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, let's kind of see how this goes. Now there's kind of this, you know, with so many guys having gone over there now, I think there's this very kind of established kind of path now. And what's interesting to me, you know, is I'm just kind of, you know, and I know Giants fans are kind of bummed out on, you know, missing out on both Ohtani and Yamamoto, but there are going to be guys coming over, you know, in the next handful of years. And these guys are big. These guys are really big.
Sasaki, yeah. Right? I mean, that's the big picture. Yeah,
Hiroki Sasaki, you know, and I was, you know, I was down in Osaka a few days ago, you know, to visit Oryx where Yamamoto played previously. And there's a pitcher there named Yamashita who throws 6'3", 220. Guy's a monster. Guy, you know, throws 100. The people there seem to think that he's better than Sasaki. He certainly has a frame that looks more durable. You know, and it's interesting the way they report over there, right? Because you can't go in the clubhouse, but you can go almost anywhere else in the stadium. So, you know, you can follow a guy out to his car if you want. And, you know, I saw a guy just kind of walking, kind of, right, and just me being an American, kind of doing the American eye test, like, wait, who's that guy? You know, there was a guy that just looked like an Adonis. And it was their shortstop, you know. This guy, Kuribayashi, he's 6'2", you know, 215. He's not your little Japanese infielder, you know, from yesteryear, right? I mean, you know, I think Kaz Matsui was like 5'10". This guy kind of looks the part of like the modern, you know, the post Cal Ripken, right? The A-Rod, Jeter, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be as good as these guys. I mean, the bat doesn't, you know, I'm not sure the bat's quite there. You know, he's like a 280 hitter, I think, right now. But, you know, I think he's still, you know, in his early 20s. That guy could be the type of guy, again, that goes over there. You're seeing these guys are just a lot more, you know, there's a physical element to it that Japanese players of previous eras didn't have. And, you know, again, I think Ohtani is kind of the start of that, right, where you see this guy who can not only compete in the major leagues on a technical level, but also, like, on a physical level.
Now, are they all going to want to play for the Dodgers? It's like, do you think there's, like, this, okay, let's go play, all play with this team, or – well, they, and as you mentioned, sometimes there's been a, you know, Japanese players don't want to be on the same team. There's kind of a hierarchical thing. If there's an older player there, I don't want to go to somewhere else. Or do you think this Yamamoto Ohtani thing just could be, let's just line up and make the Dodgers the all the Japanese all-star team?
Yeah, I think, you know, there are going to be some guys that are going to be attracted to the brand names, right? I mean, I do think the Dodgers and the Yankees are always going to have an advantage. But I'm guessing, you know, that as time goes on and, like, I don't think, say, for the example, like, the Padres were necessarily, like, on anybody's radar before this, right? But now, you know, Darvish is there, and it seems like they've treated him well, and he seems to be happy there. I'm guessing stuff like that will pay dividends, you know. And, you know, you have Suzuki over with the Cubs. And, you know, I think, you know, different teams are going to get shots at these guys. I mean, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be roster considerations too, right? I mean, you know, the reason Yamamoto's contract got up to where it did had a lot to do where the pitching market was, right? And, you know, the players are going to be part of that ecosystem now. And, I mean, I think we saw with, you know, with the Giants getting Lee this year, you know, you see just, you know, it's not just about, you know, right? I think they're, right, the market is really kind of global now. And so I think that those forces are going to, you know, the more guys that come here, I think they're going to get, you know, a lot of these other teams will also get shots at a lot of these guys.
We've heard a lot about the Dodgers being really interested in Sasaki. You think getting Yamamoto and Ohtani means that they got a leg up on Sasaki, or would it mean he might stay away from them?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Sasaki did train. I know he spent at least one offseason training with Yamamoto. So, you know, they are with the same management company. So that we could possibly steer, you know, Sasaki that way. I could also see a scenario where, you know, in terms of like just kind of raw talent at this point, the you know, the big guys to come from Japan so far, I think have been Darvish, Ohtani. Sasaki's the next guy like in that line of, okay, you know, in terms of just like the raw tools and what they're capable of doing, you know, so, you know, maybe he thinks, you know what, I want to compete against this guy rather than be with him. I could see both scenarios for sure.
All right. I don't want to keep you talking all the time here because I want you to kind of revive yourself if possible. But go in some healing waters in Japan or something. Like, go get a steam this stuff out. Mookie, it was a little bit old news last week. Mookie Betts was kind of moved into the permanent for now, I think was Dave Roberts' statement about he's playing shortstop. Gavin Lux is having, you know, had arm surgery last season. He's having trouble throwing the ball. He's going to be moving to second. Mookie has been moved from right field to second base, which is pretty dramatic. And now second base is shortstop. Like, how does a team, just with that payroll, with this amount of like unlimited resources, like this is what I thought about them like 5 years ago. You're paying all this money to everybody and you didn't have a bullpen except for Jansen. And now you have all this money expended all over the place and you don't have a shortstop, Dylan? Like somebody other than your right fielder who's going to go in the Hall of Fame for his outfield? And maybe he's going to be really good at shortstop. I just think it's putting a lot of responsibility on him. How do they not have a shortstop other than Mookie Betts?
Hubris. You know, I mean, again, I think we've talked in previous weeks about their pitching, right? I mean, I don't think, you know, that thing hasn't gone bad yet, but it certainly has the potential to, you know, where they got a bunch of guys that have like injury histories. And yeah, you know, as much money that is spent on this roster, as much star power as they have, this could go really bad for them really fast. You know, my suspicion is that we're going to see Miguel Rojas there, you know, at short. Guy can't really hit, but I just kind of don't see the plus side, I guess, of, you know, kind of taking such a, you know, a low floor, high ceiling type of gamble on something like this. You know, obviously they're, you know, yeah, offensively they're better with Lux in the lineup, even as a second baseman, than they are with, you know, with Rojas in that, right, and as part of that lineup. But I mean, at this point, you know, you got, you know, you look at that top of that order, as good as it's going to be. I think they could afford to waste a spot on Miguel Rojas if it means he's going to kind of catch the balls, you know, that a shortstop is supposed to get.
I would fear screwing up Betts too. Like, I know he's moved to second base at times and he's played, but like, if he's got to think about shortstop, if he gets clipped on a double play, like, I think he's so important just keeping that lineup. It just, the risk of this seems unbelievable. Again, you know, if this were the Pirates or somebody doing this, you'd go, ah, okay, but you know, you don't have the resources to have a shortstop ready to go. The Dodgers should have some shortstop there who could like man the position. I just don't understand. I don't understand this and the risk that they're putting Betts in. And what it just screws him up offensively. He wore down. Like, it wasn't like he kind of wore down last season.
Yeah.
Playing, now you're putting him at shortstop and all the different movements you've got to make. It just seems it's stunning to me to see this.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and you know, he was a guy who a couple years ago, you know, they dropped him to second in the order. He likes leading off. You know, that didn't go great, right? I think this past offseason, you know, it was kind of framed as like, oh, I want to play second base. But I think that phone call that he made to Dave Roberts about was more about, where am I going to play? Mm-hmm. Just because I want to know where I'm going to be, you know? And yeah, I mean, they didn't even get out of spring training before, you know, they moved him out of there. So, you know, and I think too, like, there's going to be this element, I think, in his mind, in the back of it somewhere, that has to wonder, okay, you know, I was the guy when they signed me, right? When they traded for me, I was the guy. Now they get Freddie Freeman, you know, and now they get Ohtani, and are they just taking me for granted?
Yep.
You know, and you know the way egos work, right? I mean, it just seems like a lot of unnecessary trouble that they might be, you know, putting themselves in.
All right, ask me a question, Dylan. I want to stop you from talking because I know you're struggling. So what are you interested about in the Bay Area sports? Or even ask me about L.A., whatever. I just want to stop you from talking anymore. You're suffering. You're suffering.
Well, since I've been, again, a little bit, you know, unplugged over here from kind of the local stuff, I know NFL free agency kind of opening. Niners, what are we looking at there?
It's been pretty moderate. They got, you know, we all expect them to do something splashy. They've done something splashy the last 2 years in free agency. Chavarius Ward 2 years ago, the cornerback. Javon Hargrave, the defensive tackle, in many ways the number one kind of defensive free agent last year. They didn't really go huge this year. I thought Danielle Hunter was somebody they really were looking at. I think he was. They didn't get him. I thought, okay, well, he's going to go for some monster deal somewhere. But he goes for a 2-year deal to Houston, $48 million. It doesn't seem like. I mean, it's high annual value, but it's 2-year deal. That's a very interesting number to see. They get Leonard Floyd, old Rams edge, signed with the Bills last year for 1 year. Comes to the 49ers, very productive player. Healthy player. I think that's what you're looking at. That's, they seem to be kind of underlining health, which kind of underscores he hasn't been released yet, but Eric Armstead, they're in negotiations, probably going to release him. They want him to take a pay cut. He doesn't want to take one. He's a huge cap hit. They can get out of a lot of money if they move on from him. They're still going to get a dead cap hit, some of it, but it's not going to be terrible. But he's better to have on the team than not have it on the team. He's just been hurt a lot. So it just looks like they're kind of reassessing their spending with some deals coming in the future. But they've always had this, right? There's always been big deals they've had to do. They've spent money because they, if you pay a lot up front, you can amortize the numbers over the years. But maybe they're kind of at a point where we can't really do that. You got the Brandon Ayuk contract theoretically has to be done. The extension should be done this year. If not, he plays out his contract next season. And I don't think they want that. You got the Purdy deal, which would be coming next season. Again, these deals don't have to start with huge cap numbers. So I didn't think this was the moment when they really had it back up. But maybe they're still waiting. There's that L.A. Charger team out there that is still way over the cap, that has Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, several others that are on Keenan Allen, are big numbers. They've already moved on from Austin Eckler. But I can see like that. It's certainly the speculation that they're going to try to trade some of these guys. Can the 49ers just trade for Joey Bosa? That would be a natural, obviously, the team with Nick Bosa. I don't know. It's a huge number. They would not want that number, but they could take some of it. Khalil Mack, if they could get him for free, you know, it's the in draft picks, you still have to pay him, obviously. Maybe they're playing that waiting game. Maybe they're laying, you know, like, hey, this, if we just exercise some patience, something big will come pop to us. You know, something bigger than Leonard Floyd and or Yetur Matos, Gross Matos, I think is how you say it. I'm trying to remember the order of his names. Apologize if I got that wrong. These are not big names. Eric Kendricks, a linebacker, like Floyd, has familiarity with Brandon Staley, my guy. You know, maybe my guy has a lot of clout in there. They seem to be kind of collecting some of his guys, or at least having knowledge about them. It's interesting. It's not like we're used to with the 49ers. We're used to kind of them going, bam, bam, look at us. We're going. We're going to win a Super Bowl with these guys. I wouldn't say it's been aggressive, and we are used to seeing them be aggressive. I think the Danielle Hunter, depending on what he wanted, what all the way he's being evaluated, I just thought 2 for $48 guaranteed is a low number for him. I think they could have been involved with that. Maybe they would have wanted a longer deal, but you know, usually a player likes a longer deal, doesn't want the shorter deal. So pretty interesting. There's moves to make. They clearly need a tackle. They clearly need to do some other things. But you know, the Rams haven't done very much at all. Like they've re-signed their guards for big money. Like it's just total anti-49ers. They do not invest their money in guards. They figure they can draft somebody in the sixth round and plug them in there. You know, there's some aggressiveness throughout the league. We've certainly seen aggressiveness, but we haven't seen like this crazy, bam, $20 million, boom, boom, $18 million. We've seen some teams kind of sit it out, or the deals have been pretty moderate, or the big deals have been like cuts. Russell Wilson cut goes to Pittsburgh. Like it hasn't been this free for all where we've seen the very top teams jumping in. Maybe, you know, the Eagles get Saquon Barkley, but again, that wasn't a huge deal. Like there's not these, the cap is going way up and the money isn't being spent. Maybe it's just this a little bit of backing off of free agency and kind of sorting it out for what next year is going to be. I think the 49ers are kind of doing that. Like next year's going to be a heavy year. Maybe we can't go overextend ourselves with long-term deals this year. They're not as good as I thought they could have been, though. Like that's, you know, maybe in relation to everybody else, they're okay, but you're still trying to win the Super Bowl. You're still got to beat the Lions. You still got to, you know, God knows they're still lining up against the Chiefs. It seems like Houston is super aggressive. There's a couple other teams. And others aren't so aggressive. It's very interesting to watch this. And the 49ers are kind of in that group. Well, you know, three or four of their executives are running other teams. So maybe it's this kind of group mindset. It's like, this is not the year to go crazy on a player. The Cowboys haven't done anything. They're not a huge free agent team, but you'd figure that, you know, they fall short in the playoffs year after year. Jerry Jones would just be spending like crazy, and that hasn't happened. This is kind of the moderate year, which I don't normally prescribe to NFL teams, where you just like go, and now they're, you know, a little bit of pullback. Just a little, we'll see. Maybe, you know, this setting up some monster moves happening today or tomorrow. We're recording this on Wednesday morning, but the 49ers seem to be in the rest of the group where we don't have to go. Like if you judge this by the NFC West, there's nobody going crazy in the NFC West. So maybe the 49ers don't feel like they've got to like go blow for blow with anybody there, or the Cowboys, or, you know, the Eagles have, again, Saquon Barkley, a few other things, nothing huge. And they lost Jason Kelsey. Like, I don't know who's really pushing it for free agency. And maybe that's wise, because you don't always get better by spending crazy money in free agency. Sometimes you really screw yourself up. But I would watch the Chargers. The Chargers is the one I'd watch. I don't know if Joey Bosa for sure would be like ready to go to the 49ers, but you'd think that'd be high on his list. And I think they'd be interested in Khalil Mack too, if they could get him for a lot cheaper.
Yeah. Speaking of the Chargers, I mean, kind of knowing Harbaugh and maybe kind of like his tendencies, do you, of those guys that are kind of all floating out there, right? Mike Williams, another guy, mm-hmm. You know, do you see him maybe taking a liking to one or to a couple of those guys and like, you know, I want to keep this guy.
I would have thought Keenan Allen, a tough receiver, get your first downs, kind of culture setter. You know, health is always going to be, you know, health is going to be a big deal for all these guys, as we saw with 49ers with Armstead. I just thought Keenan Allen, I think he even said it, like Keenan Allen represents everything we wanted. He said something like that, I think. And I agreed like that felt like a Harbaugh kind of guy. Now, not, you know, certainly an aging player. Harbaugh might want to get younger guys, but he's just a guy that if you, you know, you're spending all the money they are on their quarterback, you want the quarterback to be your leader. You want those five touchdown games, which, you know, Herbert's capable of. You kind of want that, you know, Mike Williams, whatever. I would think he'd love Joey Bosa, but that is a high number and he gets hurt. And Khalil Mack played. I think he played all 17 games last season, but he has been hurt. He's not, you know, you didn't draft him. You didn't, like, he's kind of on a mercenary sort of path right now. Those guys tend to kind of skip teams at the end of their career. Boom, 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 boom. Those two, I wasn't sure, but I thought Keenan Allen would be one that there would be little doubt of. I knew there was no chance with Eckler, but we'll see with Keenan Allen. And maybe it's just that he's at an age where they feel they got to move. But you got to replace him, though. Like, even if you feel like it's a smart move financially, you're still paying the quarterback $30 million, you know, whatever the number is. You kind of want to win games when you're that invested in the quarterback. And then the next year, and then the next year, and the next year. I would, if I had a guess, just from what I know about Harbaugh, I would think that of that group, Keenan Allen would be the one he'd be most interested in keeping. Joey Bosa after that, given though the Bosa numbers are very high. And one thing I do want to speak about, I'm a players guy. I know I'm not an owner's guy, but like kind of the outrage of these players getting cut. And I, you know, Armstead certainly is one of them, but the players know when they sign these deals that the guaranteed money is the money you're getting.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The other salary is not guaranteed, and it's very specifically understood that they might not get that money. Now, it's announced as the number. These big deals are thrown out there. Oh my God, 5 years, $150 million. That's not what they are. Like, you got to look at the guarantee. That's why they fight for the guarantees. That's why the guarantees matter, because that will is your tie to the team. Not the extra 7 years they tack it on. And I just am kind of militant about that now, saying, no, this deal is actually this amount. You know, quarterback deals get puffed up at the end. All these other deals get puffed up at the end. What's the real deal? And is it disloyalty? Whatever, you know, teams do it. That's what they do. They throw numbers at the end. The cap number looks big, and they got to get rid of the cap number. So the non-guaranteed money is not paid, and you're off. You're gone elsewhere. You got to look at these deals realistically. And the Armstead thing is, you know, he's a locker room leader. He's given his guts for this team, but it's a non-guaranteed deal that he had to know that he might not get all that money. You have to know that going in. Very few players play out these huge contracts. Kirk Cousins is one of them. He plays out every contract, makes every dollar, and then turns around and makes another huge contract. Quarterbacks tend to, because they last longer. Their value is like at 37. If you're a good quarterback, your value is the same as or more than it was when you were 23. That is not the case in any other position except for kicker, maybe, and maybe left tackle, but that's rare. Once these guys hit 30, you got to look at what the guarantee is. And Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, these guys do not have they're running out of their guaranteed numbers. We're looking at the 49ers in the summer, like who's running out of their guaranteed number? That's why Armstead, I wrote like that, if he doesn't take a pay cut, I think he's going to get released because that guaranteed number had run out. You know, Kittle still got guaranteed money. Juszczyk doesn't have guaranteed. There's another one that's probably going to get adjusted. Fred Warner just got restructured, so he's got more guaranteed. Like, you just got to look at that to tell you who's probably going to be with the team much longer. The team's telling you, and the players understand this. They don't have to like it. And I'm not saying Eric Armstead is liking being told you got to take a pay cut to stay on this team, but you got to look at these contracts realistically, and then you understand some of this stuff. You're not shocked when it happens. I just like years where writers just go, oh my God, look what this player, he was owed this, and now he's going to. The guarantee is what matters. It's the guarantee that is what ties players to teams and teams to players.
Something else here. So obviously, we got a time difference here. They do not televise the NBA in Japan. I was actually talking to a Japanese baseball writer about, you know, we were talking about access and stuff, and I was explaining how available LeBron is, you know, and how to the point, right, when LeBron doesn't talk, it's news.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy asked me, oh, did he not talk after he got hit? Meaning, basically, he had no idea who LeBron was. Mm-hmm. He thought he was a pitcher, you know.
okay, that's good. I was wondering, what are you talking about? When did you get hit? Did I miss something too?
Right, yeah. So point is I've been a little bit unplugged from the NBA here. How are our two teams doing right now?
Well, the Warriors, Steph Curry hurt his ankle, always emergency red light with the Warriors, given his ankle injuries from way back when, before they started winning championships. But then a few times during that, he is missing this game tonight against the Mavericks, which is a huge game for the standings. If they lose that one, they're probably not catching Dallas for a while there. It looked like they would. They still have a chance, but they're not playing. They played nicely a couple nights ago to win in San Antonio to avenge a terrible loss at home two nights before that when the Spurs did not have Wembanyama or Devin Vassell, their two best players. Terrible Warriors performance. The Warriors come back. Rookie Trayce Jackson-Davis was incredible. He had this windmill dunk on Wembanyama to close the game, which is incredible. I was that down here. So I didn't see the game, but then I heard about everyone was talking about it. So I had to go back and watch it. And I go, okay, that was something else. To close the game with a driving, flying windmill lefty dunk over Wembanyama, it does tell you that this guy's got something. He's kind of part of their current and future, which is this intriguing part of the Warriors. But they're kind of descending, I think, as something. For a while, I thought they were maybe jump into the seventh seed and take a Laker-like run like the Lakers did last season. Lakers are playing well. They're just kind of weird. You know, then LeBron's missing games here and there. They have – it's that older superstar fragility where sometimes they can look like a month and a half. No, I would not have foreseen that. Anthony Davis has played some monster games, like just monster games. Then, you know, LeBron pops in and out with that ankle issue. I'm sure they'll have to monitor that throughout the rest of the season and into the playoffs. The Warriors have Curry with his ankle thing, and – they have kind of indoctrinating a new kind of wave of, you know, Kuminga and Trayce Jackson-Davis and Brandon Pajemski. They're interesting. I think I said a couple of weeks ago, I'd probably rather be the Warriors than the Lakers right now. Just the respective age. It just seems they have more interesting youth, and Curry is 3 years younger than LeBron. Like, that's important. He does not have the same. Is he 4 years? I mean, he might be 4 years younger than LeBron, but similar injury issues, similar, like, that's the guy that other teams don't want to play. But is that guy going to be healthy at 100% going into? I will say the Warriors have benefited at times, though, when Curry's missed latter season games in the regular season, because it rests him. It gets, you know, there's been some fatigue questions about Curry. Kerr has raised them himself. Curry's had some, you know, not great shooting games after the All-Star break. Hasn't loved the fatigue talk, but I think it's there. It's, you know, your legs, maybe the shot isn't all the way there. You don't want to get it by being injured, right? You don't want that. But he's been, like, in 2022, he missed the last, like, 10 regular season games. They still won a bunch of them to get the three seed. He comes back fresh, and he burns through the postseason. They win a championship. Like, that's happened before. Also could throw him off rhythm. Like, that's always a possibility. But sometimes if you can hold on and just have a fresh Curry, now they're going to have a low seeding, so that's going to be the problem. But almost the give and take is, it like, would you rather have a fresh Steph or would you rather have a tired Steph? You might want to say, okay, we give away a couple games here, but we, in the regular season, screw up our seeding a little bit. Maybe it's, you end up as a 9 instead of the 7, but a fresh Steph is the one that everybody fears. We'll see where the Lakers are with that with LeBron. Like, is he going to be fresh? Is he going to be healthy? Is AD going to be fresh? You know, he's kind of carrying the team right now. Then they play each other in LA on Saturday, which will be, and I think at this point they're saying Curry's going to practice on Friday. So miss the game on Wednesday, practice on Friday, and possibly be ready to play. Well, they didn't say possibly ready. This is me saying if he's practicing on Friday, he probably will be playing on Saturday. And that's another obviously huge game, because we know the Warriors and the Lakers are going neck and neck for that 9-10 seeding. And it really might be the 9-10 seeding, because, you know, 8-7, they might start, you know, you got the Kings and the Pelicans and the Mavs. Like, they're not exactly going backwards lately. So this game might go a long way. They play two more times, by the way. Lakers and Warriors play two more times after this weekend. So those games are like a little mini playoff to try to determine at worst who gets the home game in that 9-10 game, which is like the loser is gone. You lose the 9-10 game, you're gone. And then the winner plays the loser of the 7-8 to get the 8 seed. It's going to be very interesting. We'll see if Curry's back for that game. It's just both are in a little bit of a fragile state right now.
Yeah, and kind of part of the, you know, that old guy's star dynamic, right? It's kind of the continuity stuff too, you know, where, you know, you can kind of look at it both ways, right? Yes, the guys are getting rest, but, you know, there's kind of those younger guys that you're trying to step into bigger roles. You know, I know Hachimura's played pretty well over this last month. You know, if I'm the Lakers, I want to, you know, make sure he and LeBron are on the court as much as they can, you know, together.
At this point, I don't know that they can, you know, Vanderbilt's been out for so long, Gabe Vincent's been out for so long. At this point, I don't think you can count on either one of them. Maybe Vanderbilt for some minutes. I don't think you can count on Gabe Vincent. And he was going to be a big part of this team when they signed him. He's not making a little bit amount, and he's making some money. But, yeah, Hachimura, D'Angelo Russell, we'll see what, you know, Reeves has been okay, not great. Those are the guys that, like, if you're, you know, I don't think you can just go LeBron, win it for us. I don't think you can do that anymore. One or two games in a playoff series, but he ain't going to do it for four or five. And you better win those games too. Like, if LeBron's playing a great game, you cannot, like, they're at a point where you cannot lose the LeBron's playing great game. And, you know, you're playing Denver, you're playing Minnesota, right? You might still lose that game. He gives you a shot to win that game. You might not win it. Same with the Warriors and Curry, though. You know, you can't waste the great Curry games, because they're not coming every game anymore. They can't. It's just at that age, you're not 24 anymore. You're not 26 anymore. But that's your shot at it. That's your shot at the series, is those guys having a miraculous game. Exactly, you know, Curry's 50-point game in Game 7 against the Kings is your classic example of that. LeBron's had, you know, 100 of them throughout his postseason career. But they're not going to come as often. And then you might get hurt, you know, right? That you just never know when anyone might get hurt, but specifically guys who are over 35. All right, Dylan, I think we dragged you through this one enough. I see you in pain. It's a sad sight. And Dylan in pain in Japan. I know you have people there. I know you are feeling the scene, and then you will paint it for us in Korea. So those games are what, Tuesday and Wednesday of next week? Is that correct?
20th and the 21st.
Yeah, that's Tuesday. I believe that's Wednesday, or it might be Wednesday, Thursday. We'll see about getting you on for this. I don't know. Maybe after the first game, we'll figure out the timing of that. Hopefully you are not even sicker than you are now.
What's unfortunate too is, you know what they have in Japan is like all you can drink.
No, what?
Like 900 yen, all you can drink for 2 hours.
In a bar, and in just a random bar, you walk in and all you can drink. Bar.
Like there are these places like all over the place. Like,
well, sometimes that cleans out the system, Dylan. Maybe I prescribe that to you. Just
maybe
go crazy.
That's what I need, I know.
Yeah. Just make just one big blast and then get it all out of your system. And I mean everything out of your system. You wake up the next morning with a headache, but then you feel better. Maybe that's the actually that might make you worse, or you might end up in a jail somewhere. We'll have to figure out how. They got Wi-Fi in a jail, and you do the podcast from a Tokyo jail. you've probably seen the inside of a jail before, though. So who knows? So this Wi-Fi is freezing up. So say goodbye. Yeah. All okay. Right. We're back.
You guys,
and we're gonna go. All right, everybody. That's the show for today.